And that is the hymn that we are going to be taking a look at today on Law and Gospel on this May the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord, sung by St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. And of course, being a Rumination Tuesday, we're able to have with us our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom, how you doing today? How was your Memorial Day weekend?
When was Memorial Day?
This past weekend.
I couldn't remember. Okay. we went out. You know, our kids are in town.
Right.
So I love these meals. There's cheese and there's crackers and there's all kinds of meat and there's, my son does barbecuing.
Oh, boy.
So.
Ribs? Chicken? Steak?
Hamburger, sausages. He has different things each time, but I love that. And then they went swimming. There's a pool there, and so it was really pretty good. What'd you do?
Just basically relaxed and caught up with things. That's my typical
holiday.
And I reflected on my uncle who died at the end of World War II.
Oh,
thought about him. Thought about him. Some years ago, I went through all of his World War II letters. About 100 letters.
Really?
And I transcribed them from his handwriting.
Right.
And put them on, you know, readable type. And I really got to know him. You know, I never met him. He died at the end of World War II, and I never met him. But I feel like I really got to know him in those few months that it took me.
Sure. Did you put it on a computer? No.
Yeah, it's on a computer somewhere.
Well, why don't we make a book out of it?
Well, I've already made a book out of it.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I've never
Sorry.
Seen it. No, I've got the equipment. How many pages is it?
Oh, over 100 letters.
Yeah.
And other poignant documents.
Any photos?
Yeah, I've got some photos.
Well, that's nice. Well, today, we weren't here last week because I was doing a closing service for the parochial school. So
how did that go?
Oh, fine. Yeah, I did a doodad that they couldn't figure out. I got it's kind of like a sponge thing, but it's in the form of a tube. And I put two glasses of water on the table. And I said, the left water is Hindu baptism, you know, when they go down to the river. And I put the sponge in it, and it didn't change color or anything. And then I said, but this is Christian baptism. Put the same sponge in, and it turned white.
Ooh.
Yes. And people
Magic
said.
Magic trick.
Yeah, they said, oh, I know what you did. You put something on the sponge. They said, no. Oh, you put something in the water. I said, no, you can ask the secretary, Cindy. She got the water from the same tap in both glasses. And they could not figure it out. I bought the thing at Walgreens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was hanging there. It says, changes color when? Can you figure it out?
No.
The left-hand cup was cold water. The right-hand cup was hot water.
And that made it change colors?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great thing for baptism.
It's a great object lesson.
And yes. I even took the one when it changed white. I said, now if you fall from the faith, and I put it back in the other water and change back to the first. So it was pretty good.
How's that hymn go? Wash your robes and make them white.
Yeah, in the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
That's really a strange one from a rational, reasonable point of view. But we're really going to be coming up with something this Sunday, Pentecost, come Holy Ghost, God and Lord. And, of course, this was probably written by Martin Luther, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you know this one?
Yes, I do.
You looked down below.
I sure did. I'm tired of getting caught flat-footed by you.
Yes.
My wife tells me when I get home, how come you never check who wrote the hymn?
Yes. So, first stanza.
Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord, with all your graces now outpoured on each believer's mind and heart, your fervent love to them impart. Lord, by the brightness of your light, in holy faith your church unite from every land and every tongue. This to your praise, O Lord our God, be sung. Alleluia, alleluia.
Yes, It's this particular one in the translation. They talk about come Holy Ghost, God and Lord. A lot of the newer ones is Holy Spirit, but then it wouldn't have had enough notes to deal with it. But with all your graces now outpoured on each believer's mind and heart. How's that done? How are graces outpoured on a believer's mind and heart?
Well, through the word and sacrament.
Very good.
The appointed means
Excellent.
Of grace.
Yes.
Can we get back to that term Holy Ghost?
Sure.
You know, I grew up with that term.
Right.
But you know, I think hymnody, maybe the creeds. We don't use that term Holy Ghost as much now as we use Holy Spirit.
Yeah, not as you see Gasper, the friendly ghost.
And, right.
And people, when they hear the word ghost, they think of the spirits of the dead and
right.
this sort of thing.
Well, you know, the German was Heiliger Geist.
Yes.
You know? How do you feel about that? I mean, do you have any problems with
no,
that?
No, no.
Doesn't bother you at all?
I don't have any problems with doing King James language.
Uh-huh.
Particularly when it's necessary to rhyme or something.
Uh-huh, right.
You know.
Right. Yeah, you know, it remains in the hymn, like you say. If it rhymes well, it stays
yeah.
there.
There's a movement about catechisms that you should always use the same rendition, the same translation.
Yes, yes.
Throughout a person's life. That's very hard to do because we have now at least three translations.
Right.
But when you go to a shut-in, 90 years old,
that's right.
they can hardly talk, and you start going through the Holy Communion.
That's right.
Their mouth is moving.
Yes.
And so I always use the old translation for the confession of sins.
I did
absolution.
For many years. But you know what? Believe it or not.
What?
The shut-ins that I call on now, I will, you know, I used the old hymnal for many years.
Right, right.
But now I'm finding that they're more used to the new hymnal, and when I say Holy Ghost, they say Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And there are other things. So when I say, when I talk about the quick and the dead, they'll say the living and the dead.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You know, it's funny. I guess I need to get up to speed with them a little bit more.
Well, you need to know where they come from. I've still got a couple of shut-ins that learned the catechism in German and English.
Yes, right, right. I remember running into those too. That yeah. they were confirmed in German.
Yes, yes. So my German's not that good to use the confession of sins in German. And unlike playing a musical instrument, if you don't use a language pretty regularly, you'll lose it.
Right.
But instrument, you can come back 10 years later and pretty well get back to where you were at without too much struggle. But languages isn't that way. At least that's what I find.
But boy, I tell you, you know, you're right. You run into these people that their mother tongue was German.
Yep.
And if you can say the Lord's Prayer with them in German, oh boy.
Oh, wow.
That's...
I hadn't thought about that. That's pretty good. So you don't get past the first line and what Luther says, come Holy Ghost, God and Lord. I think this is really important. I did the sermon over at the church extension this morning, and then I'm going to be preaching at 10 o'clock here. And there was a woman outside. She didn't hear the sermon. And I said, well, the sermon didn't go that well. She said, why? Because I always ask a question. And one of the guys there answered it correctly.
Threw you for a loop.
Yeah.
That took away 5 minutes of your sermon, right?
Well, I said, would you hear me preach on this elsewhere or something?
They're wise to you, Tom.
But I was making a really important point. You want to hear the question?
Yeah.
See if you can answer it. It starts the sermon. What am I cooking? And here are the ingredients. Vegetable oil, honey, Dijon mustard, ketchup, sugar, paprika, salt, black pepper, garlic powder, onion powder, white vinegar, hickory liquid, smoked flavoring, lemon juice, egg yolk, and water.
That sounds like the barbecue sauce over at Chick-fil-A.
How'd you know that?
I go there all the time.
I must have said this earlier or something. Yeah.
You've got to write down, Tom, when you last preached that sermon. That's what you've got to do.
Well, I do the same sermon every week because at Trinity Orchard Farm, they think it's new.
Some of these guys, you know, they'll preach for 3 years, they'll write all their sermons, and then they'll take a call elsewhere, and they'll preach the same sermons elsewhere.
But the point I was making here in the sermon is you can know the ingredients of the Bible, but not be saved.
Right.
And the ingredients of the Bible are the historical events, the people, the miracles, the parables. You can know all those by memory. And in the sermon I mentioned, the scribes and Pharisees, some of them had the Bible memorized, Old Testament.
Oh, yes.
And Jesus says, your father is the devil. Because they didn't follow the instructions. Mm-hmm. For example, two people can memorize the Ten Commandments on the basis of the Bible, and one will conclude, like Judaism does, that you're saved by your works. And the other one concludes that, no, the primary purpose of the Bible is to show that you're not saved by works. And so theology is really what Luther did right after, thou shalt have no other gods before me. What was the next thing he said in the catechism?
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What was the next thing he said? Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Yeah. First commandment.
Oh, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
No.
Okay, go ahead. What does this mean?
Yes.
What does this mean? That's right.
That's right. And see, I pointed out, you can know the commandments, the creed, believe everything in those, and still not be saved. Because saving faith isn't believing the historical events. Saving faith is believing the gospel promises connected to the historical events. So the Pharisees knew he died. They knew he rose. Paid the soldiers to lie about it. They knew he raised Lazarus from the dead, but their meaning of it was man-made rather than scripture-informed. And so I make this point. Every sermon has to give the meaning of the scripture. You know, I listen to radio a lot on sermons and such. I can't believe how many pastors will take an event and they just explain the event that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no long gospel in it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And they think they've done the sermon because they may have given some insights, like when Jesus changed water into wine, you know, how big were the pots or the things, the containers he used and this sort of thing. And there's no long gospel for the person sitting in the pew who just found out that her daughter is pregnant out of wedlock or his son is on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And just misses the whole congregation that way. So that's a big analogy I'm using, and I know we've talked about it. I came up with a second one I'm working on.
Okay.
That's really good.
Second analogy?
Yes.
Okay.
The Bible is a lot like a puzzle before you put it together. You see all the parts on the table.
Yes.
And then, like, I don't have the patience to do a puzzle.
I don't either.
My wife loves them.
I never was much into puzzles.
Yeah, she's really good at it.
Especially these, you know, 500 pieces. Come on.
And all the same color.
Oh, I know.
Oh. Well, I was at the nursing home. They have two of them over there at DePaul Hospital, visiting a shut-in recently. And she said, you have to look on the walls when you leave. All those pictures are puzzles they put together.
Oh, wow. Yeah, some people really get into that. I mean, they just
I'm not kidding. And some of them were religious.
Uh-huh.
And when you just look at it, you don't see it. You got to get closer,
right.
And then you see how each one. And as I'm walking out, there's a lady doing a puzzle on one of the tables.
Oh.
And she says, yeah, we'll glue that onto a board and put it up with a frame around it when we're done. They really enjoy that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
And good for them.
And I've got some ideas. I'm not going to share it because people will start doing it ahead of me. how I'm going to do some puzzles here, working probably with the confirmation class. But we're looking forward to it. I found another program that you would really be interested in. It's software, but even you could do it.
Even I could do it, right?
Yes, because once it's up, it makes crossword puzzles.
Oh.
All you do is you put down the item. Like, I did 12 sentences on names of the Bible. Like David, who was king after Saul, and Noah, who was in the flood, all this stuff. And then after you put down the item and the question you want, all you do is you hit create. And within 5 seconds, the puzzle was created.
Wow.
And it even said we were able to use all of the items that you put down.
Wow.
And
Sounds boring to me.
Oh, can you imagine? I'm going to do one on each of the commandments, the creed, and everything. Oh. And the kids won't be able to finish them unless they have them memorized.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. All right, Tom. Do you ever try Sudoku?
My wife does.
My wife does that, too.
Yeah.
She's really into it.
I guess women who don't have a job and nothing to do, got the time. All right. You're the one who brought her up.
They're going to kill us, Tom, when we get home. Oh. Okay. You want me to read the next hymn? Next verse?
Yes, please.
Come, holy light, guide divine, now cause the word of life to shine. Teach us to know our God aright and call him Father with delight. From every error keep us free. Let none but Christ our master be, that we in living faith abide, in him our Lord with all our might confide. Alleluia, alleluia.
Notice the relationship between the Spirit and Christ. Let none but Christ our master be. So the Holy Spirit is there to lift up Christ. Who did Christ lift up?
Well, he raised himself from the dead.
No, I mean, like the Holy Spirit lifts up Christ.
Yeah.
Who did Christ always lift up?
Who did Christ always lift up? Well, he lifts us up. Lift up your hearts, we say in the liturgy. I'm sorry, I'm slow this morning. It's after a...
The Father.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yes. Remember all
that... I don't really think... Where does it say that?
Are you kidding? The Father...
I know he always does the Father's will.
Plus, he says, the things that I'm saying is what the Father has said.
Yes.
And so...
Okay, he holds...
He gives glory to the Father.
He gives glory to the Father. Okay.
That's what I meant by lifting him up.
It kind of threw me. The way you said it kind of threw me.
Well, the Spirit lifts up Jesus.
Yeah, right, right.
Jesus lifts up the Father.
I know that. You know,
yeah, right.
The Spirit always testifies of Christ.
Yes. And Christ always testifies of the Father.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think of him as lifting him up.
Well, you just said it.
Okay, Tom.
That the Spirit lifts up Christ. So you also have the Spirit lifting up the Father. You just read that. Teach us to know our God aright and call him Father with delight. You can understand why Jesus was really worried about the crucifixion.
Yes.
Not so much because of the pain, but because of the Father.
His Father would
forsake him
on that cross.
That was
hell. He was suffering hell.
That's right.
During the time on that cross.
Yes.
Hell is when he's God forsaken.
Yes. And he was forsaken because God had declared him to be sin.
Right.
And therefore he turned his back on his own son.
Right. Covered with the sins of the whole world.
Yep. Yeah, Jesus, I asked
that once.
The
sins of all time.
Who is the greatest sinner in the world? And they were thinking, oh, maybe Judas or somebody. Said, no, Jesus.
Made to be sin.
Yeah.
Who knew no sin.
Just like we're righteous.
Right.
Last stanza, please.
Come, holy fire, comfort true, grant us the will your work to do, and in your service to abide. Let trials turn us not aside. Lord, by your power prepare each heart, and to our weakness strength impart, that bravely here we may contend, through life and death to you, our Lord, ascend. Alleluia, alleluia.
So he's called ghost in the first stanza, light in the second, and fire in the third.
Right.
Why? Because remember Jesus says, baptize you with water and with fire.
Right.
And that's the Holy Spirit.
And the tongues... The tongues of flame settled
yes.
upon the
once
the
more,
disciples' heads.
With Luther's hymns, you got about 30 verses that
right.
he's referring to. Totally biblically oriented. By your power, prepare each heart, and to our weakness, strength impart, that bravely here we may contend through life and death to you, our Lord, ascend. I mean, Luther really had a lot of contentions that he had to get through. And so for him, the Holy Trinity was really, really important. All right.
Well, what are you preaching on this Sunday?
Pentecost. Probably Ascension. Oh, no. That we did that last Sunday. Christmas. No. What is this Sunday? Oh, it's Pentecost. Thank you.
Pentecost, yes.
And you also.
What aspect of Pentecost are you going to be preaching on? Anything in particular?
Oh, yes. Okay, I have to get to a worship service now. So you want to take over by yourself?
No, thank
you, Tom. Okay, what we're going to do is have them hear the hymn again. And that'll be until they get in here to close down. I got to get down there by 10 o'clock and then
blessings on your
Trinity
words.
At Vacation Bible School worship service and elders meeting tonight, Board of Education meeting, and seeing a shut-in who is near death. But thanks so much for being here with us, Mark, and here's the hymn again.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.